Isn't God good? If you love what he's doing in your life right now, give him praise and magnify him. Let's give him a little high praise. Magnify, magnify, magnify the Lord. Glory, 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 glory to God. So it feels pretty good in this house today. And why don't you have a seat for just a moment and let's just talk about stuff. You fill this up nicely. We probably have 100 or so seats that are not filled here. We have another 200 in the balcony. And so there's room to grow here. This is our whole Sunday morning crowd. We don't have Sunday school this morning. So that will be a little bit of a different dynamic for next week and when we get going here. So we quite often quote from the 118th Psalm, and it's one of our most quoted passages. We quote from verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And in that verse, we teach that God makes the day belongs to God, and that rejoicing and gladness are functions of will and choice. And it's a very, very powerful and wonderful passage of Scripture. But just preceding it is a Scripture that's very apropos for this day. The 23rd verse simply says, it is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And we look at what God is doing here. And I want you to know you're worshiping in and walking through a miracle today. And God has done something really, really nice for us. And it is a blessing to be a part of what God is doing here. And we're so very glad that God let us be a part of his kingdom and what he's doing in this house. We're extremely glad to have Sister Amanda Marks and her kids in the house with us this morning. Just dropped in. And we love and appreciate Brother Cody Marks and Sister Amanda and these beautiful children. And they came a long way to just have church with us and celebrate with us this morning. And we appreciate them so very much. And if you're a visitor here, we're all kind of visitors here this morning, so we all feel about the same way. Now, our worship is really, I think, good. I love our worship, and we teach worship, and we have emphasized third world worship. If you've ever traveled in third world situations and you've been in church there, you know that they just worship with all of their hearts, and they leap and they dance and they run and they don't care about the setting or the conditions. And I've seen this in Central America and in Africa and in far Asia, out in the Philippines and in Mexico, and it's ferocious worship. And I thought when I first saw that, if I ever have the occasion to influence worship in the house, I'm going to suggest that we have third world worship. And so we want to have that. Now, you're a little warm today. And if you've been worshiping, you're a good bit warm today. But this is nothing for third worlders. They'd love to be worshiping in this house today. But we have a long list. This building is a wonderful old gal, and she's served well in her years, and she's going to continue to serve. This is the first time she's ever had real music in her, and this is the first time she's had tongue talkers in her. And so she's going to be experiencing a lot of things, but she needs a little tender love and care. And we've been working on her for several weeks now, and there is still a long list of things, of some very obvious things. So I know that you're a very exceptional crew, and I know that you've got an active eye for things that need improvement. But if you come to me and say, look, there's a spot right there, there's a lot of spots in this house. And we're working. We've got a long, long list. We just can't get it all done right now, but we're working. And we'll have some more air conditioning in this sanctuary as quickly as we can get it in. But I'm just glad. And I'll tell you, if it didn't have any air in it today, I'd still be glad to be in the house of the Lord worshiping God. And I wouldn't hold back on my worship. I would go ahead and worship with all my heart, because this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will do my joy all over again. And I will be glad. So since we have everybody in the house today, let's just talk about some stuff that we need to talk about. I love this church family, and I appreciate you so very much. And your faithfulness through the years and your passion for the kingdom of God is what makes the growth of the kingdom a possibility. And you might, and we do defer to the fact that God does it all, and it's all God, and He gets all the credit. But in places where God doesn't have people cooperating, nothing's happening. And so I salute and applaud the church family, and it is such a treasure to be involved with you and what God's doing in you. I appreciate our good board here, and these gentlemen have been so gracious and responsive to me, and they go along with my crazy ideas, and they just smile and say, let's do it, let's have revival, and I enjoy working with them, and it's a wonderful, wonderful board. Again, I can't walk in this house without thanking Brother Reggie for his shepherding us through the whole purchase process from one end to the other. And he feels like he's fallen into a tar baby here, because I won't let him go. I had him working on something this week, and he's very responsive, and he's a blessing to us. He really, really is. And this is this was a big deal, and he helped us in immeasurable ways. I wanna salute the school team, Megan and Jessica, and all the school and Sunday school crowd. They moved their school over here, and they had their first week of school in here this week. And I saw young ladies loading up trailers full of furniture and stuff, and I just thought, they don't need a man. They got it. These ladies have it. I did ask one, though, about the quality of physical ability the next day, and she was pretty sore from having been involved in that heavy lifting, but they did a wonderful job. I appreciate our media team. Many late nights and a whole lot of work. And by the way, these are like temporary sound system features you're seeing here, and we're just kind of feeling our way through, and there's some stuff being engineered and ordered, and it'll be in here. We're going to fly some speakers, and you may be totally uninterested in any of this, but I just feel like talking to the church family about this, and so that'll change and that'll morph as we go. But we're just glad to be in the house today. I tell you, I've had church out in the middle of a cornfield with a bunch of little Indian people, and this is wonderful church here today. So you just you got to know that. But thanks to Brother Dustin and his wonderful group, his media team. They've done a wonderful job. I want to tell you, there are a lot of people, and I won't name everybody today, but there are some folks that have just been absolutely beastly here in the past week or so. And three of them that come to mind are Daniel Carr, who cleared out the whole jungle down there on a mini excavator and built us a bus pad and move the whole jungle. And if I'd let him go, he'd clear everything from here to Birmingham with that thing. He was riding Isabella on his lap there around the front yesterday. And when I saw her later in the day, I said, Isabella, you've been riding on the big machine. She said, do you mean the mini excavator? I said, okay, I won't dumb down the conversation here. Yeah, she's been wanting to. And also, Brother Daniel, thanks so much for tireless work, late nights, a whole lot of help here. And And Brother Jeff has been here inside, outside, up and down, cooking a couple of nights for everybody. And on a Saturday for men's prayer. And he always works with a team, and there are people that are working with him. But he's just been absolutely beastly and tireless. And, well, I don't know. I told him by tonight we're going to have about 30% of the crowd sleeping. And if you are, we will not bother you. If you can sleep in this joint, you need it, and we don't care. But so there's been some late nights and a lot of energy. And also, Brother Cedric Steele has been here almost every night, late at night. Knocking down walls with sledgehammers and building them back. And he's a monster with a sheetrock blade and just really, really active in all this destruction and reconstruction. Has done a wonderful, wonderful job for us, and we appreciate it. And Brother Stephen and his platform crew tore this thing apart and tore it out and tore back into there and changed and morphed. And that was a big crowd of people, a lot of guys in on for several days, and got a lot of work done. But we really appreciate that platform team. And also Brother Josh Hagedorn and the baptistry. The baptistry is going to be right over here. And that's been a team effort too. And it's unfinished, but it's ready today to baptize. So if you're here and you've never been baptized in the name of water, in Jesus' name, in the water in the name of Jesus, we'll put you down in the water today, and God will wash every sin away. So, and Sister Christy is really happy because it fills up in 15 minutes instead of 3 hours. So she's really, really happy about that. But I appreciate all the hard work and the late nights and all that you've done here, Brother Josh, and that whole team. And there have been ladies around here cleaning and lifting and moving, and guys, too, just all over the place. A wonderful group of young men have been here almost constantly carrying things and hauling pews from one end of the building to the other and moving things, and they've been just invaluable to us. So too many projects to name them all. Brother Josh Collins brought a flatbed and a crane from work out here yesterday and set up our shipping container, and also had the sign team hung up in the air most of the day yesterday. So at some point there'll be a New Life sign out there. This is a temporary one. We're just getting it up. I really didn't want to worship under the old flag. I wanted to get our own flag up out there, you know. So anyway, this has been really great. And if I left anybody out there, I love you and appreciate you, and you did a great job. And it's just been a lot of folks and a lot of work and everything. And we're learning now. We're going to learn how to come in and out of this place and walk up and down in the promise of God. And sanctuary-wise, this is going to hold us for a while. We're going to have some growth in here. But this building answers a multitude of questions about children and school and Sunday school and youth and quizzing. And there's so many resources available here. And we have space. We have rooms that we're not even using yet. And it's just a wonderful thing that God has done. It is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Let's give God some praise and thank Him for it today. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we give You praise. We magnify You, oh God. Hey, go ahead and loose your voice and just praise Him. Try this place out. Oh, how marvelous, how marvelous. How wonderful Your ways. Praise God. Praise God. And so the Lord's ways are marvelous. They're wonderful. They're above our ways like the heavens are above the earth. So kids, sorry no snacks today. And we're sorry no Sunday school, but we're back up and running next week, and everything will be back the way it should be with your Sunday school room and with your snacks and all of that stuff. And big church is a drag. I know you like the worship, but having to sit here and listen to me for 2 hours is really a drag. So we'll get back where we were last time. So just apologize to the kids for all of that. Praise God. So after church today, if you want to tool around and just kind of explore a little bit, make yourself at home and don't get lost. If you do, we'll lock you up and see you tonight. It'll be all right. You think I'm kidding, but you can. You can get a little turned around over here. Okay, so we're going to read scripture this morning and open the book in the house. Praise God. We're making our way through the New Testament. We're in the book of 1 Peter. And we're in the second chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. Brother Dustin is waiting on Bright House to hook us up to the internet. And so our internet family is not going to be able to be with us this morning unless he's contrived some bootleg something. He has contrived some bootleg something there. I stand amazed and corrected. Do you want to continue to do that without Bright House? Hey, look, the ushers have shades in their box outside if you need something to protect you from the glare here. We'll hook you up with some sunshades, you know. 1 Peter 2 and 4. To whom coming, it's talking about Jesus. We're jumping into the context here. As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. You also, as lively stones, are built upon or built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded or shall not make haste, Isaiah says. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Wherefore also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. If you love his word, as you're seated this morning, let's give him praise and thanks and magnify him. Ah, we bless your name for your word, O God, that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise your name, O God, and thank you for your word in this house today. Teach us, O God, lead us by your word today. Everybody said in Jesus' name, praise God, praise God. Where's my wife? She was right there. Oh, I see you. I can't tell. All of you have moved and shifted and changed, and now I don't know where folks are. Praise God. Well, this is fun, isn't it? What a neat journey this has been. It's really fun. Pardon me for a little conversation there. We're just kind of amazed at what God's doing. Praise God. If you weren't with us in the storefront with the broken awning, you may not appreciate this. We appreciate it. So, Peter to the church, talking about Jesus, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. He was rejected of men. Isaiah said he was rejected of men. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He's speaking for the whole nation of Israel. And ultimately, they will not only reject him, but they will crucify him. He's disallowed of men, but he is chosen of God. I want you to know there are a lot of things that men don't accept. a lot about the Word of God and the ways of God and the existence of God and the commandments of God that men don't allow. Even men that stand in pulpits and stand in church halls and they disallow what the book has already said for ages, and they say something like, well, this is a different day, or this is a new day, or that was only a cultural situation back then. But I want you to know that the Word of God is forever settled in the heavens, that He changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody say amen. And so what men disallow, they disallow God. They disallow the Christ. They disallow the church. They don't like holiness. They don't like the commandments of God. But I want you to know what men don't or do allow does not affect who God is and what God is and the way of God that He's projected into this earth. God allows it. That's the only thing I care about. My neighbor may not like it, but God allows it. My mama may not like it, but God allows it. My city may not like it, but God allows it. The ecclesia of the city, the religious groups of the city may not like it, but God allows it. Now, they may not like worship, but God allows it. And they may not like holiness, but God allows it. And they may not like all of your passion and all of your zeal, but God loves every bit of that because we see it in the Word of God. I don't care what you don't allow. I know what God allows, because He tells us plainly. It was an old song. Mama don't allow no shouting up in here. I don't care what mama don't allow. We're going to shout here anyhow. I'm taking liberty with the lyrics, but you get the. Daddy don't allow no holiness in here. We don't care what daddy don't allow. We're going to live for God anyhow. Daddy don't. Well, daddy, you just shut up. Because we care what God is. Let every man be a liar. Let God be true. So it may be disallowed of men, but God says yes. And He says also, disallowed of men, but chosen of God. This is God's chosen word. Do you know when you come to God, you can't make it up on your own? Did you know that when you come to God, it can't be your way? God is not Burger King. You can't just ride up to the window and make it the way you want it to be. God's already written it down before you ever took your first breath. This thing has already been planned out from the ages before. And you need to understand, when you come to God, you come on His terms. It may be disallowed of men, but it's chosen of God. This is God's church. This is God's way. This is God's kingdom. And it's the way that God has proclaimed it from ages past. Chosen of God and precious. Everyone say precious. You're not talking to your neighbor here. You're talking about the things of God. So it's precious. Precious is usually when something on earth is of great value because of its preciousness, or if spoken of as being precious, it's usually something that is scarce, something that has a scarcity of availability. And because there's only a tiny bit of it, it becomes exceedingly valuable. And when it has some practical use, then it becomes tremendously valuable. But the things of God here, according to the Apostle Peter, are precious. The church is precious. The Word of God, all the things of God are precious, and not because there's a scarcity of it, because there is an abundance of everything that God has to offer. Matter of fact, God is an abundance mentality God. You find it right there in the very first dealing of God with mankind, when He said, you can eat of everything in the garden. There is a restriction, however. One tree you can't touch, but you need to know God is not a restrictive God. You don't ever look at holiness in the Word of God and say, well, God is restrictive. No, sweetheart, God is an abundance mentality God. There is no lacking with Him, but you have to come by His methodology. And so anybody, anywhere can come into the kingdom of God. The word of God, the things of God, the kingdom of God itself, they are precious because they are chosen of God. And they are precious because they are exceedingly effective. The kingdom of God can be attained anywhere. It's not scarce. It's abundant. It can be attained by anyone. It's not restrictive. You can come. If you've got all the money in the world, you can come. If you don't have a dollar to your name, you can come. If your daddy had a name that was recognized by the city, you can come. But if nobody knew your daddy, you might not even know your daddy. You can come. Anybody can come into the house of God. You just got to come God's way. Men may disallow it, but God allows it. This kingdom of God, it's precious because of its power and because of its effectiveness. It's precious because it is highly abundant, but it is highly exclusive. Many are called, but few are chosen. We're just kind of running through these text passages today. Verse 5, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You also, he's talking to the church, as lively stones, he's comparing you to Jesus. He's saying he is a stone that was disallowed by the builders. He said, you also are lively stones. You're like Jesus. God's talking to the church, and that's his plan, and that's his methodology. He wants you to be like Jesus. He said, you also are lively stones, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. You are like him. He's a lively stone. You are a lively stone. He's not some rock sitting on a shelf, worshiped like an idol. Those gods can't hear. They can't deliver. They can't reach you. They don't know your problems. People are worshiping false gods all over the world, but not my God. He's a living God. And you are lively stones. You're not supposed to sit in the house of God dead. You're not supposed to look like some carved image. You're supposed to be movement. It is the character of worship that it moves. It is the character of deity that it stands still. And so the word of God said, lift up your hands, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. The word of God said, praise him with timbrels, praise him in the dance. The word of God says, praise him with stringed instruments and organs and high-sounding cymbals and loud cymbals. I want somebody to move a little bit and worship a little bit right now. Just shake yourself. Somebody dance. Somebody shout. Disallowed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Man says no, but God says, that's my church. You also as lively stones. You're like him. You're lively like him. They buried him, but they couldn't keep him buried. Because it's not his nature to be dead. It's his nature to be alive. Trouble can bury you. Life can bury you. Financial problems can bury you. Sickness can bury you. But if you're like him, it can't keep you down. It can't keep you buried. You'll come up out of that again. I see Job under the rubble of his life. It has fallen apart, but his little hand comes up out of there. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody that's under a rubble today, you need to lift up your hands and say, I might be buried, but I'm a lively stone. He's alive, and I'm alive, and you can't keep me down. Now you can bury people that are God's people, but I'm telling you, when that trump sounds, there's going to be all kinds of trouble. Graveyards are going to be messed up all over the place. Headstones are going to be flying. I wouldn't want to be out tending the graveyard on that day because stuff's going to be flying everywhere. Because so Granny Allen's going to get up out of her grave, and Joe Magnolia's going to get up out of a grave, and I mean, you just think about it. You just think about it. All these precious loved ones, they're there with God right now in spirit. But that body belongs to him too. He redeemed that body too. And that body's going to get up out of that grave. We are lively stones. You can bury Jesus, but you can't keep him down. You can bury a child of God, but you wait, my friend, on that day, on that great getting up day, on that day when the trumpet sounds and the shout of God goes forth. There's going to be trouble. Give somebody a little high five and tell them I'm a lively stone. Man, I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm going to move when I'm praying. I'm going to preach with the preacher. I'm going to be alive. I'm going to be alive. I'm going to witness on my job. I'm going to witness in the Walmart. I'm going to be alive in this thing. I'm not some dead spectator. I'm alive in God. I'm a lively stone. Praise God. You can't keep God's people down. We're like him. Everybody say like him. Like him, he's a solid rock. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm a solid rock. Come on. You got to get that. You got to be that. Not some little namby-pamby thing going to happen to me and drive me out of the house of God. You see me, I'm going to be here when I'm old and barely moving. You see me, I'm going to be here as long as I got a breath to breathe. I'm going to be in the house of God. When I can no longer dance and shout, I'll lift up my hands and wave them. When I can't lift up my hands and wave them anymore, I'll just shake and tremble a little bit in the presence of God. But I tell you, we are lively. We got to be solid. We've got to be faithful. God is faithful. He is a rock. He's rock solid. He is a stone. And you've got to be, you also as lively stones, you've got to be dependable. You've got to be faithful. You've got to be there. You can't do this without being there. It starts with being there. Like him, we're a spiritual house. You are building up a spiritual house. He was the house of God. The house of God for Moses was a tabernacle in the wilderness. The house of God for David was a house that his son Solomon would build, and it would always be that way through the history of Israel. But when Jesus came to earth, the house of God had come to walk among men. He told them in a puzzle, he said, you tear down this house and in 3 days I'll raise it up. They said, you're nuts. This house was 46 years in building. They were standing right by the temple of Zerubbabel. They said it took 46 years to build it. They knew not. John said, they knew not that he spoke of the temple of his body. He was the house of God on the earth. He was God's dwelling place on the earth. All of the fullness of the Godhead was in him. Without controversy, great is the mystery of God. Godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That was God, my friend. That wasn't a piece of God nor a part of God. That was all of God. Come down to do the business of redemption. It's the greatest story ever told. He was the spiritual house. He was the house of God walking among men. But now the apostle says, you are a spiritual house. You are builded up a spiritual house. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul teaches holiness to the church, and as he's teaching them and maybe correcting them about some of their lifestyle and their behavior, he said, what? Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Don't you know that what Jesus was is what he's projected that you will be? He was God in a body. Now he's put God in your body. He was all of God. We've got the baptism, a portion, the earnest, if you would, of our inheritance. But it's the same, absolutely the same principle. You've got the Holy Ghost down on the inside. If you're here today and you've never received the Holy Ghost like the apostles did, and you've never spoken in other tongues, other languages, as a sign that you have been baptized in the Spirit, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost in this building today. It is the will of God, the purpose of God, the promise of God that you can have the Holy Ghost, and you can have it today. And is there a witness in the house?
If you're here without the Holy Ghost, you just need to lift up your hands right now. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. I know that's true because I got it in the middle of a service. I had no idea. I was a Baptist kid, no idea at all about the Holy Ghost. And the preacher said, you could stand up right now and get it. And something crazy, just a crazy idea got me. I just said, I can get it. And I stood up and lifted up my hands. I closed my eyes. And when I opened my eyes, I had 35 apostolics standing on the pew all around me, saying things I never heard people say before, doing things I didn't think people did in church. And I got the Holy Ghost, and I talked in tongues. And you will too, and it's the purpose and the will and the promise of God. Are you okay? You are a spiritual house. You are the house of God. Now, we can't do a full-blown study on that today, but you individually are the house of God. The scripture is very plain. God lives in you. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You are God's property. You are God's house. Your experience collectively is God's house. We are built together, a place of God's abode and for God to dwell in and manifest himself in the earth. We are like him. We are the spiritual house of God right now. And like him, we are a holy priesthood. We're reading from this. We are like him, acceptable to God. You have to think in terms. I know it's America, and I know independence is just an extremely valued quality here, but you need to understand that when you come to God, you come on God's terms, and when it says that we are holy and acceptable unto God, you have to realize God allows some things, God accepts some things, and God disallows other things, and God rejects and prohibits some things, and you only find that by study of the Word of God, and you have to find out what God allows and what God says yes to. And then that's what you're going to build your camp like, and that's what you're going to build your family culture like, and that's what you're going to build your personal culture into. And so some things are acceptable to God, like him, like the Christ who was acceptable unto God. So God's looking for people that are acceptable unto God. One of the first stories that broaches this conversation is the story of Cain and Abel there in Genesis chapter 4. And Abel and Cain are bringing a sacrifice to God, and it's time. And they are some of the first after the garden, and they're perpetuating what God has shown Adam and Eve. And they build an altar and they bring a sacrifice. Abel is a shepherd, and so he brings a lamb, which turns out to be acceptable unto God. Cain is a farmer, and so he brings a fruit salad, which is, the Bible doesn't say that. He just brought the fruit of his land. He brought it might have been squash and cucumber. I don't know what it was. But he brought veggies and laid them on an altar. And God received Abel's sacrifice, but God rejected Cain's sacrifice. And early on in the Word of God, we hear and we understand that even though it's something you toiled over, and even though it's something you're proud of, and even though it's something you place great value on, it's not necessary that God is going to accept that. And so you have to understand that God, some things are accepted, some things are prohibited. And when you want to come to God, you have to flip a switch in your mind, and you have to say only what God allows, not what men allow or disallow, but only what God allows. It may be something you're very proud of, and you see a lot of that in modern Christianity. Well, this is my talent, or this is my capacity, and this is what I do, and so I'm going to bring this to God. And that may work well if it's something that God will accept, but you better read God's manual first and find out if the thing that you're doing is acceptable unto God. And if you find that it's not, then you need to jettison that thing out of your life. Somebody say praise the Lord. Verse 6, wherefore also it's contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. And so in this, we hear the prophetic from Isaiah. Isaiah is talking about the cornerstone that will be laid in Jerusalem, in Zion. And Zion is also a generalized term that not only means the mountain in Jerusalem, but it also encompasses all of Jerusalem. And then it's personified in the people of God. The people of God are Zion. And then when you get to the church age is spoken of as Zion. And so he's going to lay a chief cornerstone in Zion. That stone we've already identified, and it's replete through the scripture. It is Jesus Christ. He is the chief foundation stone. When you're talking about a cornerstone, it's like in a building. There, in those days, they would lay a massive stone that was perfectly plumb and level, and every face of it was absolutely perfect, so that anything you drew from the vertical or the horizontal in any direction would be representative of that stone. It was the reference point. It was the benchmark. It was the determiner and the informer of everything that would take place in that building. And whether you're building your own personal life, or you're building a family life, or you're building a church life, every reference point goes back to that cornerstone. Every reference point goes back to the fine edges of what God has already determined. And you can go as far as you want. God's not holding you down. You can go as high and as far as you want, but you've got to stay in absolute connection with that God has already established. Somebody say praise the Lord. Clap your hands unto him and bless his name. And this is prophetic. This is in the 7th century before Jesus. This is Isaiah talking. And he's talking about that chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him should not be confounded. When you come to do business with God, know this. It's not going to be like the IRS. It's not going to be changing every 6 months. You may have it now and don't have it later. When you come to the Word of God, you can come to the Word of God as a little child. And when you're 80 years old, the Word will always be faithful, and it'll always be true. It will mean what it says, it will say what it means, and it will do what God has proclaimed. The Word of God provides healing for you. You can receive your healing as a little child or as an elder. God never runs out of gas. God never runs out of energy, and God never runs out of provision. It's always available for you. The Word of God is forever settled in the heavens. This is prophecy. This is like Israel being in the land. It's an impossibility, but it's there for all the world to see. This is the chief cornerstone, this business of the Christ and his redemptive plan. And we build on this cornerstone our house and God's house, my personal house, my familial house, and our corporate house of worship. We build it all on the Word of God. I am not interested in new trends. I am not interested in new fads. I'm just going to tell you this. There are apostolics that I am aware of that have sent teams to this city to study how to have a revival and build a church in a church that doesn't know about Jesus' name. They don't baptize in the name of Jesus. They don't believe the Holy Ghost is essential, and they long since have walked away from holiness. Now, friend, that may be a crowd. They had a crowd at Bryant Denny yesterday. They had a crowd down at Jordan Hare yesterday. But a crowd is not the church. And just because it's a crowd that carries a Bible doesn't make it the church. I want you to know, men may allow those things, but they are not allowed of God. And when you tell me an apostolic church sent a team over to learn how to have revival at a church that is not apostolic, I want you to change your description there. That is not an apostolic church. I don't know what they used to be, and I don't know what their charter says, and I don't know the sign over their name, but I will tell you, it's a long way from being apostolic. If you don't know where you are this morning, this is an apostolic church. That means we stand upon the rock of the Word of God, and what the apostles taught, we believe is still true today. And Peter said unto them, repent. We still believe you need to repent of your sins. You can't go on living like you are. He said, be baptized. He meant in water, by immersion, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins. You can't sprinkle. That's not baptism. You can't make it optional. It's not optional. It's a mandate from the Word of God. If you're not baptized in Jesus' name, you're never going to make it to heaven. You say, well, that's hard. Well, friend, he's a rock, and a rock is hard. But he's a good rock and a faithful rock. You need him in your life. And he is absolutely exclusive. It's like everything on the surface of that cornerstone, everything that encompasses, you can have it. You can do it. You can be it, what God has commanded. But when you begin to move off of his prescribed, foundational directive for the church, then you've gone to building your own church. And you're not building God's church. If it sprinkles, it's not God's church. If it doesn't baptize in Jesus' name, it's not God's church. Now you say this is hard. Well, I just wanted to open up a few things on a Sunday morning when we're just starting in this building, and I want to let you know that this is the same apostolic. I'm not interested in having a crowd here. I'm not interested in having a group here. I'm interested in building an apostolic church, and the only way you can build that is on the rock, Christ Jesus, on the chief cornerstone. Everybody say, Jesus said. In Mark 16, turn to your neighbor and finish it with them. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He didn't say it. He didn't say, he that believes and is saved should be baptized. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus said you can't be saved unless you're baptized. I know you've been taught all your life, all you got to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. That is taken from Romans, which is a letter to a church which has already been baptized and already received the Holy Ghost. That is mailed to the church that's already established. But to any sinner on the street, people without a formal introduction to God, the message is always the same. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and receive the Holy Ghost. You can check it out. Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 19 is always the same. I am making no progress at all. So, I gotta quit. It's hot in here. My word, I'd preach longer, but man, y'all need some air conditioner in here. ¿Cómo se dice? ¿Aire acondicionado? ¿Sí? Necesitamos más, ¿eh? How do you say 20 more? 20 más tons. What's a ton? Okay, whatever they said. We need that. And we need it in a great big vent right here where it just like a river of living water. The stone is still in place and it is still effective. And men and women's lives are being changed. And all the ancient kingdom, all the ancient voices that disallowed it, all the empires that passed through that little corner of the earth that God gave to Abraham, it became a crossroads for empire builders. The Babylonians came there, and the Assyrians came there, and the Egyptians came through there, and the Greeks under Alexander came there, and his four generals occupied that area for 400 years. And then Rome rose up and shrugged off the Grecian bondage, and Rome conquered that whole known world. And all of those great empires are backwaters, dusty tourist traps is all that they are, third world status places, and the rock Christ Jesus is still standing, and little tiny Israel is back in the land. I just want you to know the ancient kingdoms have come and gone, but the cornerstone of the Word of God is still standing. It's still there. It's still powerful. Today you can get the Holy Ghost. It still works. You can't get anything from Babylon anymore. You can't find it. Praise God. Unto you, therefore, verse 7, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. The Word of God loves puzzles. God loves paradoxes. And he throws them at us all the time in the Word of God. But it's the stone that the builders disallowed, the same has become the head of the corner. They said, we can't use this. It's like Michelangelo and that big slab of marble that he made the David out of. If you ever stand in the presence of that statue, you can feel the power of it radiating out of it. And it's just an enormous and beautiful thing that Michelangelo chiseled out of a piece of marble that, I don't know, several other sculptors had used before and gave up on it because of the quality of the stone, something about it. They didn't feel like they could make it work, and so it was cast out. Michelangelo found it, and he saw in that big hulking piece of stone a David, a finely chiseled body of a young man, a young king chosen by God. He saw it in that stone, and the carvers, the sculptors had disallowed it. They had cast it aside, but the eye of that master sculptor, he saw that within that stone, and it stands in Florence today, and it's absolutely breathtaking what he did with that. I want you to know the builders, the Greeks and the Romans and the Egyptians and the Babylonians and all of the wise men of all of the ages, they have cast aside the idea of this Jewish God and this Jewish Christ and all of this story from the Word of God. They've cast it aside. But I'm telling you, in the midst of that, in the heart of that, in that stone, there is something that's coming up and it's rising up, not by the power of a man's hammer and chisel, not by the eye of a human sculptor, but by the hand of God himself and by his practiced eye. He sees within that stone, he sees this beautiful, wonderful church that he's raising up. He sees you in there and your family in there and what had been cast aside and said, this can't work in our world and this is not relevant to us. It's in the mind of God that he's going to make you into a beautiful church without spot or blemish, that you're going to stand around the throne of God in the eternities and be the people of God, disallowed of men, but accepted, allowed, possessed by God. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. The word of God is an irritation to them. The word of God is right in front of them and they can't see it and they stumble over it. They are men walking in the dark. They have no illumination in their life. But to you, he's precious. They watch you on the job. Some of your families watch you. And they say, why are you always going there? What, you're going to church again? Why are you doing that? Where are you going? Why do you go there? Why do you do all that? Why are you bringing your babies there? My God, you're brainwashed. And you're brainwashing your babies, all these little quizzers, quizzing the Word of God. You know any scripture yet, Lawson? Stand up on that pew and yell out some scripture. Tell us what it is. Stand up. The only time in your life I ever want to see you standing on a pew. Stand on the pew. Don't you ever stand on that pew again. Turn around. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. They could stand in this house and quote scripture for hours for you. Yes, we're brainwashing them. We want their brain washed of everything that's allowed of men. We want their brains full of what God allows.
Lindsay, come help me. But you, you're not stumbling at the rock. But you, the rock is not an irritation to you. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We're going to work on that verse tonight, Lord willing. But this rock that we're talking about, this is Moses' rock. This is what the song says. This is what it's singing about when it says, Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which poured before me, the double cure, cleanse from sin and make me pure. The rock of ages, Moses was on that mountain with God, and he said, God, I want to see your glory. He said, Mo, it will fry your brains if I let you see my glory. He said, nobody ever saw my glory. I tell you what, though, here, I'm going to make a little cleft in a rock here for you, and I want you to get up in here, and I'm going to put my hand over you, and when I come by, I'm going to let you see. The King James says his hinder parts. He just saw the draft of God, the past of God. The theologians take that and run with it. But I just want to keep it simple this morning and just simply say, this rock I'm talking about is Moses' rock. It's a rock that has this conversational quality with this little man that he brought up to a mountaintop. God wants to have a personal relationship with you. And he gives him this enormous revelation. This is a rock that you can hide in. This is a rock you can be safe in. But this is a rock that will illuminate your soul, and your life will never be the same. This rock is a meeting place with God. This rock is a place of revelation. You know what Paul said? Paul said, and they all drank the same spiritual drink, and they drank that spiritual rock that followed them in the wilderness, and that rock was Christ. I don't even begin to understand that. Everywhere they encamped, starting off with that rock that Moses smote with his staff, water came out and gave water to between 1.5 and 3 million people. Paul said that rock followed them in the wilderness. I don't know if they woke up in the middle of the night and heard something going pa-boom, 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 pa-boom. But when they woke up in the morning, that rock was there again, and it was giving life, giving water. I want you to know this rock is a rock that will give you life, giving water. And it will follow you every day of your life. He will be there. He will be there for you. Is there a witness in the house every day of your life? This rock is David's rejected stone. David said, I will praise you. I'm in 118:21 of the Psalms. But thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. He's Isaiah's stone. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. He is Daniel's stone, the stone that Daniel saw in his vision that he brought to Nebuchadnezzar and said, this is what you dreamed about, O king. You saw a big statue, and that statue was all the kingdoms and empires of the world. And you saw a stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it flew down and struck that image in its feet, and the whole image disintegrated and turned to dust, like dust on the summer threshing floor. And all the kingdoms of the earth come down when the kingdom of God
comes in. But the thing that is most valuable for you in that reading today is that you are a composite of all the kingdoms around you, all the cultures around you. When you were born and walked up and down in your city streets, Brother Kedrick, you are a composite of what your mama thought and what your daddy thought and what your friends thought and what was in the news and what was in the school and what was in the culture around you. And every thought in your head was thought that was imposed into you by the environment around you. But you are like that statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw, that Daniel explained to him. When Jesus came to Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he destroyed all that statue and all the empires that it was emblematic of. When Jesus came to your life, that stone struck at the base of all of those features and structures that made you who you were, and every one of them had to come down. Everything over, every old thing, everything that wasn't like God, all of it had to come down. But the good news is that when you encounter God and he tears down all of those old kingdoms, he leaves the kingdom of God standing free to grow and to prosper in your life. Is there a witness in the house? When God came, was it good for you? Did God do good in your life? He's Daniel's stone. He's the stone on which the church is built. Jesus told his apostles, let's stand together. He told his apostles, thou art Peter, and on this rock, not Peter, on this rock, this knowledge of who he was, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is built on the rock. The church is not built on Romanism. The church is not built on Martin Luther. The church is not built on Jean Calvin. The church is not built on the Reformation fathers. The church is built on the rock, Christ Jesus. Now, everything else, there are no guarantees. But when you're talking about the rock, Christ Jesus, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Turn to somebody right now, tell them, I'm standing on the rock of Christ. I'm standing on the rock of his name. I'm standing on the rock of his power. Tell somebody, I'm standing on the rock of the word of God. And now tell them, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's not going to prevail against my prayer. He can't prevail against my family. He can't prevail against my love in the kingdom. He can't prevail against my devotion to the people of God. He can't prevail over my worship. Praise God. You had a bad day? What you gonna do? I'm gonna go to church and worship like I'm crazy. Your dog died? Yep. What you gonna do? I'm gonna go to church and worship like I don't care at all. I just struck a chord there. Some of you love your dogs. But your worship's gotta be bigger than a dead dog. He said in Matthew chapter 7, a wise man builds his house. Ladies, don't take umbrage at that. That's the generic term. It just meant a wise man or woman builds his or her house on the rock of his word. Anything else is shifting sand. Anything else is going to fall apart. We are careening into the end time right now. The only thing that's going to stand is what's built upon the rock. Your life on the rock. Your family on the rock. Your church on the rock. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, if you're going to do that, turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm going to build my life on the rock, Christ Jesus. Tell them I'm going to build my family Now, Michaela, you don't have a family yet, but you will. So you're prophesying. So all you young people just say, I'm going to build my family on the rock, Christ Jesus. Go ahead. I interrupted you. Go ahead and tell. And tell them I'm going to build my church. What do you mean your church? I mean, absolutely, my church. This is my church. I take ownership. This is where I go to church. This is where I hang my coat. This is where I pay my tithes. This is where I worship. This is where I weep my tears. This is where I stand with the people of God. My church. I'm going to build my church upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. And this altar's open if you'd like to come. And if you'd just like to say, I'm tired of things being the way they are. I want it to be like God allows. If you're being pressured and you know you're not living up to the standard you should live, and it's because your mama or your daddy or your brother or the boss or somebody around you, they're not allowing you to live for God, you better shake free of that and get down to an altar and say, God, I'm going to live this your way. I'm going to build myself upon the rock, Christ Jesus.
Y'all need to sing.
Look around, church. See if there's anybody around you that needs the Holy Ghost. See if there's somebody with you that needs to be baptized in his name.
Jesus, he's my rock. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the rock.
Praise the Lord. Let's press into worship.
Blessed be.
Give God thanks.
Blessed be the rock.
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 Blessed
be the rock.
Blessed be the rock.
We've got the victory.
We've got the victory. We'll shout for all the world to see Shabbat.
Praise the Lord. Take somebody by the hand or lay your hand on somebody. Let's pray. Let's pray for one another. Pray God's anointing. Pray God's victory on them. Pray down God's blessing on them.
Oh, Jesus is the rock.
Jesus is the rock.
Jesus is.
Jesus is the rock.
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 He's my rock.
Jesus is the rock.
Jesus is the rock.
Jesus is the rock.
Jesus is the rock.
Blessed be the rock.
Blessed be the rock.
Blessed be the rock.
Blessed
be the rock.
Blessed
be the rock.
Blessed
be the rock.
Yes.
Blessed be the rock.
Blessed.
Blessed be the rock.
Yes.
We've got the victory.
We've got the victory. We'll shout for all the world to see Shabbat.
Yeah, we have got the victory. Yeah.
We have got the victory. We'll shout for all the world to see Shabbat.
Somebody say we got the victory. Yeah.
We have got the victory. We'll shout for all the world to see Shabbat.
We've got the victory. Yeah.
We have got the victory. We'll shout for all.